how blessed we are because of what you've done many years ago. And God, you were, you are, and you always will be. And Father, the Savior that stands and sits at your right hand showed us how to love, showed us how to sacrifice, gave us hope when there was a hopeless world, gives us joy when there's nothing to be joyful about. That's the God we love. That's the Savior we sing about. And Father, as we just quiet our hearts and we begin to get into our message this morning, God, I pray that you will just speak through me. Allow the spirit of what we've seen thus far continue as we open the truth about who you are. God, we thank you. We love you and we praise you for your love, for your Son, and for all that you do in us and through us. In your Son's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. The question we have in front of us this morning as we study, as we continue going through, now Easter week happened, it was last week, and now we want to know, how do we know he lives? How do we know he lives? It's an interesting thought, an interesting concept, because like we said last week, I don't believe any of you were there when he rose from the grave. I also don't believe any of you were there when he ascended into heaven. So how do we know he lives? We're living in a world at this moment where we have individuals who are going to be asking some of those same questions. How do we know God really lives? How do we know that our God is different than the other gods? How do we know that our God is not a God of stone that has hands that cannot do anything, ears that cannot hear, eyes that cannot see, and a heart that can give no compassion? But you see, there are many gods out there today that have that same criteria. They're just items. They're just idols. They're just stone and wood, and they're just people that have come and died, and they don't live. You know, the greatest thing about Christianity is we serve a God that instead of him asking us to give up our sons, he gave his. Instead of that God saying that I'm going to die, you're all going to do it on your own, he said, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again in 3 days. And then we have a God that also said, not only am I going to allow you to see my son die, not only am I going to allow you to see my son rise from the dead, but I'm also going to let a few of you see my son ascend back into heaven. You see, that is exactly what it means in the Bible that he was the first resurrection. He was the first Adam that rises. You know why? Because you know what? We all follow after him, don't we? Isn't that going to be a great day? Whether you hear the trumpet or whether you come out of the dirt, whatever that's called, however that's going to work, I don't know how God's plan. All I know is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, about them who have fallen asleep. Grieve. But man, not as other people grieve. Grieve. We're human. It's going to hurt. We're going to cry. We're going to be feeling bad. But don't lose your hope, because he rose, so will we. And that, to me, is a reason to get up every morning. That, to me, is a reason to go and share Christ, because I want everybody to come with me. You know, the only thing, again, you all heard, no, you never see a U-Haul fall in a hearse. You can't take nothing with you. The only thing you can take with you is the people sitting by you. That's the only thing you're going to have in heaven from earth are the people, not anything else. So when we are living in a day and age where I realize that there's a biblical illiteracy, simply because they've taken the Bible out of schools, they've taken the Bible out of this, they've taken everything God they can out of everything they can, we're living in a world that is being raised now that don't understand. Do you know the privilege that most of us have of being druggies in our early years? Drug to church, that is, learning the Sunday school stories, learning the lessons, learning the things from God, having that foundation. It's huge. But listen, we're now coming into young adults and coming into a generations that don't know, that don't understand. So how can a man die, come back out of the grave, and then go to heaven? That didn't make sense to me. But we're going to look at that a little bit today. We're going to jump around through some scripture today, so I hope you got your Bible fingers loosened up. We're going to look at this a little bit. But I want to share a song first, something we sing. I'm not going to sing it, but something that we have, a song that we often sing, and it's "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth living just because He lives. We sing that, 805 in your hymnal. We sing it a lot. But listen to the words. Sometimes I think when we sing our songs, we're just singing the songs. Sometimes I think some of you are singing to see if you stay on key. And let me tell you. Period. Just period. Let's not go any further. Sometimes we actually hear the words we sing. Sometimes we don't really. Just take a moment. Because He lives, I can get up tomorrow morning not knowing what tomorrow morning's all about. Because He lives, all my fear is gone. How many of you come in today with fear in your life? How many of you are fearing a doctor's visit? How many of you are fearing the bills at the end of the month? How many of you are fearing something in life? Do you realize that because He lives, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear anything. Why? Because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Pray that He gives you an extra cow. I don't know. He owns them. Pray that He will give you what you need. And you know what? He will. Because He's a God who's promised to supply all your needs. You see, it's my job and your job to see if our need and our wants may outride our need a little bit. But God said, I'll give you all your needs. So then, very important, do you really believe that He holds the future? How many of you worried about the election then? How many are worried about the battles, the wars, what we're being pulled into, what we're being drawn into? You see, we have a theology, and listen, just as we are to grieve, but not like others, we need to be concerned. I mean, it's not easy living in this broken world and seeing all the evil winning and seeing all the things going on. It's not easy, but we need to approach it in a way of like, man, wow, God, I really got to trust You more. Because I don't understand what's going on. I don't agree with what's going on. I don't get it. I don't have to, because He lives. It's worth living. Life is worth living for no other reason than my God lives. You see, we sing these songs, and we need to understand some of the theology and some of the understanding of what it can do to our lives every day when we wake up. It should change our perspectives. It should change the way we respond. Listen, like I said, life hurts, life's hard, life stinks. But there's a way in which we respond that means completely different than what the world does. And listen, the world's looking for that. They're not looking for another sermon. They're tired of being preached to. They're tired of hearing. But boy, they'd love to see the realness of God and lived in somebody's life. They'd love to see that real be a part of who they are. So, that all being said, when we study this morning, going to Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we want to look at and read through that text. Okay, if you have not turned there, please turn to Acts chapter 1, looking at verse 9. And he says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Man, I only got one amen on that. Come on. Man, give me some witnessing going on out there. That text tells us that he ascended into heaven. In fact, it's interesting, and we're going to do a couple little bit of understanding here. There was a question that the disciples posed to him in the preceding verses, verse 6. And when they therefore were together, they asked of him, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? Do you know they're still asking that today? They still are wondering if this battle going on right now in front of us is going to be the battle that then God then restores them into, or he restores his kingdom. And do you know that same mindset is what put him on the cross? Because all the Jews at Christ's time were looking at him and saying, finally, God, you're coming, Messiah, you're coming and you're set up the kingdom on earth. And Israel now is secure, they're protected, they're safe. And listen, God did not send his son to set up a kingdom. God sent his son to save those who were lost. Therefore, there will be a kingdom to come. You see, we live in a kingdom of God, and we understand that kingdom of God is right now us. I mean, we're living on the outskirts of it right now. This is not our home. We're passing through. This is not where we put our permanent stakes. My eternity is in heaven, and I am building my bank account in heaven. Are you? Or are you more concerned about your bank account on earth? You can't take nothing with you. Nothing goes. Listen, Scripture says that we are to be doing things. We are to be building up our treasures where moths cannot destroy, rust cannot destroy. And the way in which we build up our treasures is simply believing that we serve a God that lives, because it'll change the way we live. He's done all this. So they ask a question, are you going to do this? Verse 7, very clear. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power. But ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and into the othermost parts of the earth. That was the last thing Christ told his disciples before he ascended into heaven. So as he tells them that, what we need to do is, before we realize how do we know he lives, we need to realize that what they ask of him fits right in with what everything we've talked about so far this morning. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own hand. Do you realize that's just not talking about eschatology? That's not talking about just the end times. That's talking about the death of your loved ones. That's talking about the job you lose. That's talking about every day of your life. It's not for us to know the things that God has put in his own power. God sustains life and breath. God's holding my last breath in his hand. And he's not going to send me an email to tell me a day before it's about to go. He holds that in his hand. Therefore, we don't know. Are you going to do this? God, are you going to do this? God, can I? We go around this world asking God questions, but listen, it's up to the hand of God. Do you trust that hand? He's a living God. He's a loving God. He's a just God. And do you realize that if God was only just, we'd all be in hell? That's the justice that we deserve. We don't deserve anything. In fact, I heard it said by Jonathan Edwards. Well, let me rephrase that. I read it, okay? I'm old, but I ain't that old. Jonathan Edwards, I didn't hear him say this. But anyway, he said, the only thing that you and I bring to our salvation is the sin that requires it. But nothing else. We can't do anything else. God did it all on the cross. He did it all in the death and the burial and the resurrection. He did it all in the ascension. He lives today, and we don't have to do anything for that. We bring the sin that we have that requires what he has done. And so when we look at this morning, I want to put it into perspective, because we're going to use this text as a little bit of a springboard. Because what he says here is that when he received in the cloud, one of the first things that happened were that there were two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, men of God, and said, why are you looking up? Now, I don't know the time frame of this. I wish it had a little bit more of a time frame. But it says in here, interesting, out of their sight, and while they looked. I'm kind of thinking they're like, there he goes. Why are you looking there? I mean, we're talking instantly. Why are you now still gazing into the heavens? He's coming back. He didn't leave you permanently. He's not going to leave you permanently. He didn't leave you permanently. In fact, he told you that you were to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit of God, the promise of God to come. And once you receive the promise and the power of God, you were going to go into Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to all the most parts of the world and do what? Tell everybody about him. Folks, that's what we need to be doing every day. That's what our mission is every day, to tell individuals about this gospel message that we believe. But I want to look at that. How do we prove it? First of all, David talks about his ascension. And we see, and I'm kind of convinced that if anything happens or anything's believed in the New Testament, it's first mentioned in the Old. If you can't go from the New Testament back to the Old Testament, then you got to question what you're coming up with. Because the Old Testament is the foundation of everything that happens in the New. It's either talked about, prophesied, however it works, it's there. And so when we put this together, we need to see that David talks about it, the ascension. When he ascends on high, in Psalm 68:18, it says this, that thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led the captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. It was something that David understood. David was talking about this day to come. Also in the Psalms, David again says in Psalms 110, verse 1, he says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool. And the neatest thing is when you study through the New Testament, you find that in Ephesians, Paul uses the same context. You find in Colossians that everything was made by him, for him, and everything is placed under his feet. So we understand that when he says your enemy's a footstool, it was described that in the New Testament. Everything was placed under his footstool. So the ascension is not some New Testament idea. It's an Old Testament that was saying, listen, it's going to happen. He's going to come. He's going to die. We know Isaiah 53 talks about his death. And now we understand that there's parts of the Old Testament that talks about his life. He is going to ascend. He is going to live. So the second thing we find, Christ talked about his ascension. David of the Old Testament, Christ in the New Testament. And as we turn into the New Testament area, John 13, 33 through 36. I'm going to give you a minute to turn there. Some of you are just trying to find the pages, and I'm already on the next step, and I feel bad. I'm sorry. I just go, you know, I just run. So in John 13, 33 through 36, 4 through 35, basically 36, we see this. Christ was doing his own, and he says in verse 33, he says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And then we have Simon Peter again coming in there, and he says, Simon Peter in verse 36, where do you go? Where do you go? And Jesus answered him, whether I go, thou cannot go. Follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. You cannot go with me now, but you will follow me. You will come. He says the same thing to us. We can't follow him where he's at now, but we're going to have our time there. We're going to be able to go there in that time. So when Christ was doing this and talking, it's interesting, right after that, we have the prediction of Peter denying him three times that Christ tells him in that same context. So when we look at this and we understand that Christ was trying to tell his disciples, listen, I'm going. They should have understood that. They should have realized that. But they didn't. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. So again, not only does he say in John 13, but he says in John 14. He says, listen, I am going. And now he says in John 14, I go. It's coming closer from those chapters. And so when we see this in John 14, and look at verses 2 and 3, when he says, I go, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. if he never ascended, where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go. There's absolutely nowhere to go. I remember Corrie Ten Boom sharing this testimony. I believe it was Corrie Ten Boom. It was a Jewish lady who was speaking, making it through the Holocaust, making it through all the camps. And she's talking about America. And she said, if America folds, if America falls, there is nowhere else to go. You know how true a statement that is on earth? Where else do we have the freedom to do what we're doing right now? Where else on this earth is there freedom to go and to be and to make the money and to have the things and have the stuff? And yeah, things are falling apart a little bit. Things are changing. The world I grew up in is not the world that's out there today. But we still have freedom. And I thank God for that freedom. I thank God for the military that allowed, fought for, that continues to fight for the freedom we have right now. It's great. And that freedom that Christ gives us because of him sending his son is a freedom. And Christ was speaking this. Christ was talking about this. As we saw in John 13 and John 14, I'm going, but I'm going to prepare. And even as he said in Acts 1, the two men in white apparel, why are you staring in heaven? Have you seen him go? He will come again. The exact same words that Christ said. I go to prepare a place. I'll come again. I'll come back, and that we will all be a part of what he is doing and what he is building. So we have David talks about the ascension. We have Christ speaking about the ascension. And the next one we have is men used by God experience the result of the ascension. The men that walk the earth, the men that witness, the men that saw. Now, you know, when I look at this and study this, and maybe you do also, I'm like, if I was there and I saw, man, would I be a better Christian? You justify it too, don't you? But you know what God said? God said, you know, to Lazarus and the rich man, when the rich man begged God to tell his brothers because he didn't want them to come to hell where he was at, what'd God tell them? They didn't believe before, they're not going to believe now. They didn't believe my witness. They didn't believe my miracles. They didn't believe who I was through all that I did. They're not going to believe me now. You see, it's not about being there watching it happen. Because if you're there, Scripture says that if your faith is built on sight, you missed it. Our faith is not sight. Our faith is built on belief. Our faith is built on nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. We have faith. We trust him. We know he lives. And because he lives, he knows everything in my life. He knows every trial. He knows what I'm going to go through tomorrow. He knows what's coming down the pike. He knows all that. So I don't have to worry. I just have to hang on when it hurts. I just got to hang on when things aren't going the way they're supposed to go. And the more I hang on, the harder it is sometimes. But you know what? You get through it. It's the only way to walk the journey is to walk it hanging on, leaning into, loving your God all you got. That's how we get through this life. That's how we get through. That's why the ascension is so important. That's why we serve a living God. Because we know that we are able and he is able to do much more than we believe. He is, for no eye has seen, no ear has heard, all that God has in store for you and for me. Colossians. I'm telling you, we need to really live like we believe. Our reality has to match our theology. And therefore, as bad as it hurts, as hard as it is, we are Christians that get back up. We are Christ followers that understand because he lives, it is very important. So the first man we want to see is Paul in the conversion. And we won't turn there and read all the verses. But Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. Paul was on his way to Damascus. He was on his way to persecute Jews. He was on his way to grab the husbands and put them into the arena and see how long they could live with the lions. He was around doing all kind of terrible things, getting the paperwork from the chief of the priests and the Sadducees to go and to bring back, put into prison those who claim Christ. And on that road, guess what happened? He met Jesus. What road did you meet him on? Where were you at? What road did you all of a sudden get blinded by the sin of your life and then look at the light of Christ and say, I got to have that? What road did you get blinded on? You see, that's important to know because, listen, because he lives, you need blinded. Because he lives, you need that meet Jesus moment in your life. Because if you have never had that meet Jesus moment in your life, listen, it's not good. It's not good. And it's not because I say so. It's not because a church says so. It's not because a denomination or a religion says so. It's because God says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come to the Father but by, through, because of me. Yet go through Christ. And because you go through Christ, you can't go through him if he stayed in the tomb. You can't go through him if he didn't rise to the Father and sitting at the right hand. You can't go through a dead man. Dead man don't walk, contrary to all the zombie things. Dead man don't walk, okay? And dead man don't talk. But God does, because he is alive. He lives, and he's ascended into heaven. So, Paul was a very interesting person. Stephen stoning. I want you to turn there with me, please. You can mark this one. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. Many are aware of this, and some of you have heard me mention this in different arenas, different situations of life. But in Stephen is put to death here for preaching the truth of the word of God. And in verse 55, let's start with 54. When they heard these things was Stephen told them all the sins they had in their life. He told them, you crucified, you put Christ to the cross, you did this. And it made them upset a little bit. Verse 54 says, when he heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were a little upset. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You know what's so precious about that? He saw him ascended. What greater proof text can you go to see that he is ascended when Stephen, on his death last breath, as they were gnashing at him, they were killing him, they were stoning him, looked up and said, I see you standing. You know how much of a hope that is? Because nowhere else in Scripture will you ever find a verse that says he's standing. He's always sitting at the right hand. He's always at the right hand of God. But you know what happens when one of God's children on earth die? He stands up and says, come on home. Come home. Isn't that great? Man, there's one time that I really wanted to go home and see my dad. There's the times that I didn't want to go home and see him. But man, this time, I couldn't wait to, you know, go, man. God is standing. What a proof text that he's alive. He has arisen. He's ascended. And he stands up every time one of his kids come home. Man, and if your past had some of my past, he's not standing there waiting with the belt when you get home. He's standing there with his arms wide open. He's standing there with a smile. He's standing there, welcome home. What a joy. You talk about the reason to believe he lives. Because this is not our home. We're passing through. God has something far greater than all of us can understand and relate to at this time. But that text is so important to realize that he has a purpose in all of our lives. He has a purpose in our going home. And we will have an eternity with him to appreciate all that he has done for us. And I'm kind of a believer that until we actually get to heaven, we're not going to understand how much we gained. Because we still struggle here on earth. We still struggle with that, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, I'm living for God. And then we get that old man rise back up in us again, and we understand that we still have those issues in our life. We still live in a broken world. We still suffer the pain. We still see the evil triumphing. We see the devastation of what evil does, the results of that in our lives. And it's hard to stand and appreciate all that God has done. But when we stand in heaven with him, whoo, we're finally going to get it. We're finally going to understand what love means. We're finally going to understand what it means to sacrifice for the love of someone else. We're finally going to know what it means to be home. To be home. Man, that's an awesome, awesome understanding. You see, when we talk about being home, one of the things that we need to understand as we prove the ascension is real. Listen, our lives prove it. You and I prove it. How do we prove it? First of all, John 15, 8 through 10. If you want to turn there quickly with me, we're going to wind down with this one today. John chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. I want to give you three things that's listed in this scripture that you can apply to your life to prove he lives. Okay? Three things that proves he lives. First of all, we find accepting Christ. Be my disciple. He says in John 15, let me get there quickly. In chapter verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. Listen, we've got to be one of his. If you're not in the family, you're not of the family, you're not going to be able to understand, and you have no care about proving the ascension of Christ. You're going to go out and live life how you want. You're going to go out and live life to its fullest. You're going to get everything you can as long as you can while you can. And then you're going to die anyway. But you see, those who know Christ, those who have accepted him, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, it's a salvation. It's a verse that we come to and say, listen, it's the wages of our sin. It's the gift of eternal life, and the only thing that bridges those three things, those two things together, is two boards and three nails, is a bridge of the cross. That's what makes the difference. And so, accepting Christ is the very first criteria for you and I to prove that he lives. Because he lives, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. And that don't mean I'm perfect. That just means I have a purpose. God never asked for perfection. He asked for purpose. And I have a purpose to get up every day and see what he has in store. Second thing, abide in Christ. We see in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. The Greek word there for continue is meno. And meno is a word that means abide. It means stay home. Stay home with him. What's it mean to stay home? Do you all know how many relationships and marriages may be better if we just stay home? We are so busy, aren't we? Man, how many families don't eat around the supper table anymore? It's crazy. Everything going everywhere. Let's stay home. And God is simply saying here, if you want to prove that I still live, then abide with me. Stay home with me. Don't let the world come in and separate us. Don't let something that happened in this world separate us. Don't let the doubt of your mind separate. Don't let your fear separate us. God is saying, don't let anything separate. Continue. Stay home with me. Because when we stay home, what that simply means is I'm going to continue in the ways of God. That's where my hope comes from. That's where my joy comes from. No matter how bad it hurts, no matter how hard a walk may be, no matter how high of a hill I got to climb, if I stay close to him, you know what? He's going to get me through it. There are days that he's going to have to pull me up by rope up that mountain. But he's going to do it because he lives. He's going to do it. The last thing we have this morning, align with Christ. It says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, align yourself with him. And I have keep my word. Because when everybody hears the word commandments, it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I got to live like, I got to be like, I got to do like, I got to look like. And everything we say you got to do, it's like crimping you in a little box. You know what? Break the box. Get out of your little box. Get out of your little world. Because my God's bigger than your little box. Listen, God never said you have to be like, look like, act like anybody else except his son. Other than that, don't worry about it. And listen, I enjoy it. Kim got a little bit of a taste of this. We went to see Vivian yesterday. Continue to pray. She's still in the hospital. We went to see Vivian yesterday, and the nurses that are all there, they know me from being there all the time, and we were kidding and joking. And like, I've been labeled the non-normal preacher. Now, you could take that many ways. But you know the rapport I have with the young generation that don't know Christ? Is this guy's for real. We like him. You see, I don't preach to him, but I do all I can for him. I'll help. I'll get a can of pop for one of the patients. I'll go get a warm blanket. I won't ask them. And they'll see me doing these things. Like, what are you doing? Like, you were busy. Well, see, the important thing of that is they appreciate that. And when they appreciate that, all of a sudden, if I'm aligning myself with God's word, what do you think God would have done? You see, you hear that, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, how would he do it? You see, we're stuck on the fact that he would, but we forget about how he would. We're not, because when it comes to the how, we define, when I have time, when it doesn't really stretch me out of my zone, when it fits my agenda. Listen, my calendar's full, God. I can't do that today. You see, if we're worried about what Jesus would do, we should also be worried about how he would do it. And God would give up as he gave up in Philippians, heaven. He gave up heaven to save a sorry soul like me. He gave up everything. And we can't even give up 10 minutes. You see, we need to do it how he would do it. We need to align with how Christ would do it. Our takeaway this morning as we bring this to a close. First of all, two questions. What about you? Could you sing that song? I will be there too. Have you had that met Jesus moment? If you can in your mind, and a lot of people say, well, I don't know, remember the exact day. I don't remember the exact time. But that's fine. But if you can't remember the time that you met him, you need to rethink. Because that meeting you will never, ever forget. Because it's going to turn your world upside right. It's going to turn everything about you in a direction God wants you to go. If you can't remember a time, listen, I don't want to go to heaven on a maybe. I wouldn't want you to base, if you was to die today, on a maybe. I'm sure. Listen, if I drop dead right now, don't try to resuscitate me because I'm in heaven. Help my wife. Just take care of my wife. That's all I ask. And I'm totally serious. Take care of my wife. Don't worry about me. I will be joyfully singing all the notes correctly. I will be happy. I'll be a happy camper. You see, and I want everybody to have that same level of assurance. I have no doubt in my mind. You see, that's what God asks. What about you? Where are you with that today? Second question as we close with this. Does your life prove that he lives? Does the life you live prove that? Can I come to your contact list in your phone and you allow me to call anybody on your list and say, does their life show you Christ lives? What would their answers be? Well, I kind of think the first answer I would get is, you ain't touching my phone. maybe not, I don't know. But what would their answers be? Listen, we need to be that light in the darkness, right? We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be the light of the world. We need to be out there. And if we truly believe that he ascended into heaven and he lives today, there needs to be proof by how we live our life. Let's pray. God, we thank you today as we come to you. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for all that it means, all that we've pulled together with it. And God, I pray that as we continue to just ponder, God, there are days that we have good days. There are days that we don't just mess it up. But God, you are a faithful God. When we are in your family, there's no way out of your family. We are held by the hollow of your hand. We are held by your right hand. We are held by your strength. You are the one who signed the dotted line of our adoption, not us. We can't take it back. allows us to still be living in this broken world and have the hope for an eternal heaven. And God, I pray as we have that in our lives today, that if someone here does not know, someone here is not understanding, God, that today will be their day of salvation. God, we just lift it to you and thank you in your Son's name. Amen. This morning, I just had a paper bill. If you could put up Because He Lives.